show, right? Should show in just a minute. Live now.
Okay. Now, where do I get the link at?
Just right click on there.
On here?
Yep. Yeah, right click. Hit copy and then.
Copy URL?
Yeah, right there. And then just paste it right into the Hangout.
Oh. Oh, did I mess that up?
Well, it's still live. Just. No, hit the back arrow.
Oh. Where on here?
No. Just right there. Back arrow right there. Yep, another one.
There. It didn't mess it up, did it?
No. Just
all right, that. Let's not do that again, right?
And then just pop, paste it.
Then I can copy it. Okay. Boy, that was messed up. Man. I need a fan over here. Can you put that little fan over there somehow? Can it plug in over there or no? It's stinking hot over here. This corner gets hot. Mm-hmm. All right, let me see here. That's awesome.
Oh.
saying turn up the volume.
Oh, are they talking about the music or me?
Are
you talking about me or the music? The music? How do you turn that up?
Well, you just go to the YouTube video and just turn it up.
Oh, is it down?
Yeah.
Oh, it was all the way down. There we go.
It's nice that you play that stuff.
Let's play that again. So now you can hear it. Sorry about that, guys. Girls and the rest of you. I'm just getting ready here.
Sending out the email link is very good.
And you can hear the music okay now, right? There we go. Now you'll hear it. I had the mic away from me, but you should be able to hear me now, okay? Is it coming in? Should be okay now if y'all can hear me okay. We'll get it going here. All right. Well, we'll get it going here. We're just about ready to get started here. I'm just putting some things on here right now that will help us kind of understand what the focus is today. I emailed the link out to everybody, and hopefully you got that and share that on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all over the place if you've got those social media outlets and availabilities. That would be good for you to do that. And we'll be having a lot of things to talk about today. I want to talk about this kind of LGBTQ apostasy. And I know I talk about this a lot on Fridays and things like that, but it's important that you understand exactly what's going on here, that we're being inundated with this movement, and it's invading the churches, and there's basically a wholesale apostasy that is going on across the nation of people that are giving into this. And I find it funny that the Southern Baptist Convention is giving into it so easily, and they're just running with it, so much so that their main players, their stars, so to speak, are running with it. They're movie stars. They're big names like Beth the Witch Moore. She is just absolutely running with this. And it's the great evangelical swerve. It's like this great apostasy that is taking place right now. And it's coming rapidly. And see, they're going to influence the masses with this. The Southern Baptist Convention
and others like that, they are going to influence the masses with this. Okay, it's going to happen because wholesale, they're going to reach a lot more people than what we realize. Now, the ones that aren't going to give into this are going to be the people that are truly saved in those Southern Baptist Convention churches, which there are God-fearing people. There are God-fearing people in those churches. All right, they are there, and they do love the Lord, and they're trying to hang on to try to get something to work. And I understand their desire to not abandon the ship, but the ship is sinking, and it's sinking into apostasy. So, and you know, it's sinking into sin, and it's getting worse. So, I mean, we've got to be able to understand that and see that. Now, the answer to this is not to abandon churches, go to the internet, and use that for your church. That's not the answer. The answer is for God's people to start to come together and start churches in those same towns and in those same areas where apostasy has taken place, and to gather people together and to organize them into churches that will stand against the apostasy of the hour. There isn't any music playing. Somebody said the music's loud. I don't have any music playing, so maybe that was an old comment. But anyway, that's the answer. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, the only reason why I want somebody to like it is to push the algorithm up to get the message out to as many people as they can. You know, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, then don't. I'm not gonna lose any sleep over it. I'm not gonna like sit here and be like, oh man, they don't want to like something I do. I don't do things for people to like it. I do things to reach people. That's the whole purpose. But is to get the truth out there. But yeah, I mean, if you're not comfortable with liking it, then that's okay. I'm not too worried about it. But I do like to get the truth out there to folks because we want them to hear it, you know. And we are vastly approaching a time that where truth is hated already in the streets, and there is a dearth in the land for biblical men to stand up and to thunder out the truth and not apologize for it. I'm telling you, this LGBTQ agenda is not going anywhere but straight in the faces of Christians. That's where it's headed right now. And there's a psyop going on with it. And it's very satanic. It's what I would call a seducing spirit. You know, did that title not come in, Luke? Because it looks like the title changed here. Was that because I flipped over? Did that change the title online too?
It's still online.
Okay, it's still on there? Okay. Good morning, Cindy. I hope you're doing well. You and Troy, and glad to know that you heard from your daughter, and that was a blessing to hear. I'm glad that happened. I know that's been a burden on your heart. So the apostasy is set in. It is here. It is alive, and the Bible talks about that, and I think it's important, and that's why I dedicate kind of a broadcast a week to dealing with the apostasy of the times, because it is that important. It is absolutely that important to deal with that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now, when we see that, when we see the Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly, that means something. It ought to mean something to us. That God's Spirit is expressing something to us very specific. that we would understand. Very specific. That we would understand. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, what we have here, the Bible says in these end times that some are going to give heed to those things. They're going to follow them. They're seducing spirits, and they're going to seduce many. And that's what we're seeing in the churches today. All over the place today. J.D. Hall is a man that is, you know, and I don't agree with J.D. Hall on everything, but he's a man that is trying to stand in the gap, so to speak, and he's trying to, with his pulpit and pen, and he's trying to keep the Southern Baptist, well, he's out of the Southern Baptist Convention, he came out of it, but he's trying to keep them from going into wholesale apostasy. He's trying to warn them. Well, this is going to be another example. I've told you this before, and I've done probably a few broadcasts, two or three broadcasts on Beth Moore. And Beth Moore, I believe, is a witch. I believe that she is a witch. I believe that there's a lot of rise of these people. They rise up into popularity and everything else, and then they take everybody into this swerve. They don't really sacrifice for the truth. They rise up in a mediocrity of teachings that everybody can agree with, and they get really popular. And then they end up falling, they end up swerving people and taking people over a cliff. Right? So here's an article here of the Pulpit and Pen, Beth Moore. Same-sex 180, popular teacher praises homosexual sacrifice of celibacy. No doubt, she's a very attractive woman, but that's how it works. She's an older, attractive woman, and that's how it works. Right? That's what the goal is. That's what Satan uses. As has already been reported by a number of other sources, Beth Moore has removed her commentary about the sinfulness of homosexuality from the Kindle version of her book, Praying God's Word. In its 2009 print form from the book included the following commentary in a chapter entitled Overcoming Sexual Strongholds. Before we proceed to our scripture prayers for overcoming sexual strongholds, we are wise to address another deadly sexual assault of the evil one in our society, homosexuality. I have wonderful news for anyone who has struggled with homosexual sin. God indeed can deliver you and anxiously awaits your full cooperation. Do not let Satan shame you into not seeking forgiveness, fullness, and complete restoration in Jesus Christ. I know complete transformation is possible not only because God's words says so, but because I have witnessed it with my own eyes. I know plenty of believers who have been set free from homosexuality. Now take the special note that Beth Moore claimed complete transformation from homosexuality is possible not only because Scripture says so, but because she had personally witnessed it with her own eyes. Not only was that claim surreptitiously, ooh, that's a big word for me, removed from her publication, so basically she removed it, Moore has performed a complete 180 in her position. First of all, why is this woman teaching a bunch of people about this anyway? You know, during a recent Living Proof event, Moore praised homosexual Christians. I don't believe there is such a thing. I don't believe there is such a thing as a homosexual Christian. Moore claims to have came to this conclusion after reading the writings of Christians who claim to have lifelong same-sex attraction. Let's hear what she has to say.
I've deliberately started following and reading works of far more fellow Christians of color. And my world and my heart has just exploded. I'm so thankful. I've come, I just want, this is the world we live in. Let's not be scandalized by what I'm about to say. I've also started following, reading articles and books by our fellow believers who are singles that have with much dignity and humility testified to having lifelong same-sex attraction, but they have chosen in their fellowship with Christ to fellowship with him in the tremendous sacrifice of celibacy, that this is how they believe. I want to follow him, and this is what I believe the scriptures say, and this is how I want to follow him. And I've been so blessed by just reading, getting to know my culture, getting to understand it through the lens of the gospel. This, we were entrusted to this world.
Getting to know my understanding of the gospel in my culture. Make me gag. First of all, quit preaching and go bake some cookies and get off your stinking tight pants and quit parading your rear end around a bunch of men on stage like that and looking like some kind of painted up whore. Now, that's my impression first. And if y'all don't like that, that's okay with me. I don't really care. The lady's got her little tight britches on and she's walking around strutting her stuff on stage like that, and that's what she looks like. It's a big stinking joke is what it is. It's a bunch of garbage. It's not even biblical preaching at all. That's not preaching, and she has no authority to do what she's doing. But then again, I'm called a misogynist, a male chauvinist pig. That's what I'm called because I stand against that. And I will continue by God's grace to stand against that. Why? Because it's from the pit of hell. So now you have Jezebel, and what is Jezebel doing here? She's trying to use compassion. Well, these people, they're giving up. They're giving up. They're becoming celibate for Christ. They're supposed to be delivered. Right? They're supposed to be delivered. Without commenting on the theological controversy as to whether same-sex attraction is inherently sinful, observers can learn something about Beth Moore. She is not to be trusted as a Bible teacher or witness of Christian living. Moore claims that she exceeded Scripture when she singled out same-sex as a particular satanic, as particularly satanic, and thus removed the offending passage from her book. Well, if you go back and look at my teaching on homosexuality is occult worship, it's on YouTube. You can Google it. Homosexuality is occult worship. And maybe Luke can put the link in the description so we have it. Because homosexuality is occult worship. It absolutely is. I'm going to talk about Matthew Vine today. Also, somebody mentioned him. All right, Moore also claims to have seen believers set free from homosexuality. Now Moore claims that same-sex attracted Christians are rather being set free from satanic stronghold, fellowship with God through their sacrifice of celibacy. It can't be both, can it? No, it can't. Moore's flip-flop conspicuously coincides with the changing winds of the moral revolution. Right? She has made a living in interspersing her own personal divine revelations and experience with Bible teaching in her many books and lectures. Within the single removed passage, we see Moore walking back both scriptural and personal claims. Frankly, she cannot be trusted as a Bible teacher or Christian witness. Longtime readers of this publication have known as much as a long time, right? So anyway, that's what we have here. I've got another couple articles that I want to show you here. That's not the one I'm looking for. This one's the one I'm looking for. Lawmakers in California have passed a resolution that singles out of the state religious communities and forces them to fully support LGBT individuals. It singles out the religious communities. It's an astonishing bid to have people of faith conform to the pervading progressive culture. The legislator even blamed religious individuals for many of the issues faced by those in the LGBT community today, including suicide. Okay, let's go back. When I was at that event this week, right? When I was at that event this week, or not this week, a month ago, at the Pride event. When I was over there, and the lady took a knife out and stabbed us and tried to stab us and stabbed our sign, right? When she did that, this sodomite guy was wearing a kilt with a bald head, remember that guy? He looked at us and he said, well, the reason she did that is because people in your community force these young people to want to commit suicide. What does that remind you of? Well, first of all, it's a satanic swerve. Second of all, what it is it reminds you of what Ahab said to Elijah. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Elijah's response was, no, it's you and your father's house that troubled Israel. We don't want anybody to commit suicide. But that's what they said. And why'd they say that? Because that's their talking point to get you to shut up. See, what they're going to try to do, by the law, don't you see Beth Moore's doing the same thing? Oh, well, I shouldn't have said that was a satanic stronghold. That was inadvertently satanic or overtly satanic. Well, it is. But what she is saying is no, it's not anymore. What? Well, I'm trying to embrace my culture. That's what I'm going to do is embrace my culture. I'm going to embrace it too. I'm going to embrace it with a big old King James Bible. And I'm going to tell them, look, I'm going to embrace you with this because you're going to die and go to a devil's hell because you're on your way to hell. And God has not changed. God is holy. He changes not. God will not change for you. God will not acquit the guilty. He will not acquit the wicked. He will acquit those that repent. But he will not acquit the guilty. He will not acquit the wicked. He will not say that they are not guilty. No. He will judge them for their sin. The resolution, which recently passed through the state assembly, reads, the legislator calls upon all Californians to embrace the individual and social benefits of family and community acceptance of LGBT people. The document unapologetically pins blame on people of faith for being contributors to the skyrocketing suicide rates among gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. Oh, okay, so it's not because you don't like the skin you're in? Like you're not even happy with the skin you're in, but it's my fault that you don't like the skin you're in? That you were born a boy and you want to be a girl and you don't like the fact that I told you can't do that? And because God's word says it? That it's not possible in the beginning you made them male and female? Right? So that makes you want to commit suicide? No, what makes you want to commit suicide is because you know you're guilty and you got devils on your back and you're being deceived and you know what you're doing is wrong. But what they're trying to do is erase wrong and right. The stigma associated with being LGBT, often created by groups in society, including therapists and religious groups, has caused disproportionately high rates of suicide, attempted suicide, depression, rejection, and isolation among LGBT and questioning individuals. The bill reads, so with this assertion put forward, As fact, the California legislature is effectively seeking to force religious people to agree with and support the LGBT community, even if they hold strong personal convictions that would draw them away from doing so. There's some good news, however, because the political action is merely a resolution. It's not legally binding. It does, however, signal a serious shift towards the policing of belief systems, the policing of belief systems that are held by millions of Americans. They couldn't criminalize you, but they could obliterate your reputation, your life. Commented Glenn Stanton, at the Federalist, noting that the resolution will grease the skids for it becoming enforceable law. Right? So what they're going to do is try to take this and make this law eventually, that if enough public outcry is there, that they'll make it a law. But they know that they can't right now because of the First Amendment. They know it's too hard to get around that. Like, oh, man, we can't figure out a way around that. In addition, to be clear, there's no solid evidence to support the idea that non-affirming religious groups are direct cause of suicide. Quite simply, anyone making that claim, family responses and religious teaching causes suicide, do so absent any hint of any bit of scientific proof, Stanton added. There's no proof. They're making it up. They're just making it up. That shouldn't surprise us, should it? We're going to look at a bunch of different articles here today. And I like the fact that J.D. Hall is tackling these issues because they are very important issues. I like the fact that he's tackling these. He's not afraid to. And he's confronting some people that are pretty influential people. You know, but he's not afraid to tackle them. But as you can see, this is one of the forefront issues right now. This is one of the forefronts. This is one of the most head-on attacks in the churches right now that we face. Because once the churches fall for this, there's nothing stopping. There's nothing stopping them from continuing their march. God's people are the only ones stopping their apostasy, or the coming apostasy. God's people are the only ones standing in the gap of the apostasy. They're the only ones standing in the gap of the LGBTQ acceptance mainstream. I'm telling you, it's it. And some of them are yoking up with Trump. And that political group is what's going to sell us out. Because Trump's going to conveniently ignore some things to do what he's doing. Okay. Now we come to this guy right here. Not this guy. Where did I put that at? Not that one. Okay, let me just click on that article. That'll be fine. Now, this is something that I want you to pay attention with. By the way, this lady is a witch. This guy's a witch. Or this lady's a witch right here. Some about psychic powers and dark forces and all this other stuff. And she is a kook. But what is the gay evangelical John Merritt? By the way, how can you even put those two terms in the same sentence? Gay evangelical. How do you even do that with a straight face? How does anybody even do that? This lady right here. Now, this was a candidate on stage. And she was the most Googled candidate on stage. Right? During the last debate. Look, see? The power of your mind is greater than the power of nuclear radiation. Visualize angels dispersing it into nothingness. Holy buckets, Batman, she's a witch. And you have the, hey, remember Beth Moore just saying, now look, look, there's nothing overtly satanic about homosexuality. I shouldn't have said that. I just shouldn't have said that. Right? There's nothing overtly gay about homosexuality. I take that back. Just kidding. Right? That's what she says. Well, why do we have a perfect picture of it right here? We got Fruit Loop Boy right here. Okay, he's gayer than AIDS, and he's there. And then you got this lady right here who's a stinking psychic witch. I mean, you can't even make it up. It's right in front of your face. Marion Williamson is most known for one thing, and that's being the weirded candidate for president on the Democratic primary ticket. As Williamson has gained notoriety for odd, new agey, mystical orations during Democratic primary debates, she has a new ally in the press, homosexual journalist Jonathan Merritt, and son of woke social justice leader and former SBC president James Merritt. He has vouched for Williamson in the Washington Post in an article entitled, "I worked for Marion Williamson. She is no kook. Beth Moore's good friend." Oh! Beth Moore's good friend. Ah. How about that one, huh? Evangelicals gay BFF used the Washington Post to do some work for the Democratic Party. Williamson is Oprah's personal spiritual advisor and is best known for her charismatic work, A Course in Miracles. Hello, she's a witch. A survey of her tweet history can easily demonstrate she's as nuts as you think, as you would think Oprah's personal spiritual advisor would be. Yeah, a witch. Here we go. Are you ready? I'll say it in my creepy voice here. A new moon eclipse in Pisces. Tonight means huge cosmic forces make enlightened dreams come true. Just saying. Okay. That's great. It is gay. Income equality in America isn't just unethical or immoral. It is unsustainable. Anyone who has read Yertle the Turtle already knows this. Well, I think I might have read Yertle the Turtle. Right? And I have been known to read Mr. Brown Can Moo, can you? But anyway, I digress. Posting angels along the entire East Coast, see legions of them in miracles galore. Oh, my goodness. What in the world? You can't make it up, people, and she's on the main stage of the Democrat Party, the platform. Everyone feels on some level like an alien in this world, because we are. We come from another realm of consciousness and long for home. Well, you do, spooky lady. That's right, Jim. She sees legions, all right. I don't know what you mean by that. What does MC mean? You should get weekly bicuts. Weekly bicuts? I don't know what that means. Huh? Cut my hair? Your body is merely your space station. Hey. No, the only difference is I put gel in my hair and it makes me look 10 years younger when I do. All I do is put gel in my hair, okay? When I put gel in my hair, it instantly makes me look like I'm younger. Just the way it goes. Anyway. All right. Your body is merely your space station from whence you beam your love to the universe. Don't just relate to the station. Relate to the beams. Eli, don't just relate to the station. Relate to the I think the mothership is coming for you now. You're almost gone, Marion. They're coming for you. Any day now. Look, Marion, or Kristen Hadley, excuse me. It only makes sense to the initiated. To all of us, it sounds like a bunch of garbage from the pit of hell. Merritt writes, Williamson and I first met for lunch at the Soho House in New York City on February 2nd, 2018. She sauntered in with an aura of a reincarnated Judy Garland. Dude, this is an evangelical writer. I mean, he definitely sounds gay. I mean, right off the get-go, when you start talking about Julia, what was her name again? That's the No Place Like Home girl. That's the Judy Garland. Isn't Judy Garland the lady the with the ruby red slippers? Yeah. There you go. She's from Grand Rapids, Minnesota. She is? Mm-hmm. Luke knew that she was from Grand Rapids, Minnesota. She sauntered in with an aura of a reincarnated Judy Garland, classy and charismatic, like a woman stepping out of a bygone era, wearing a pressed black pantsuit. That's gross. She used sophisticated words reminiscent of black and white films. Merritt continued, as a consultant to many authors, I often help writers structure their books before they get to publishing editors. I worked for Williamson for 5 months in 2018, helping her to reorganize and rewrite some parts of her book, Politics of Love. I no longer work for her and maintain no affiliation with her campaign. He goes on to explain what most people would call nuts, but Merritt seems to endorse Marion told me, and I quote, Marion told me she felt a stir in her spirit that I was supposed to collaborate with her on her newest project, so I needed to just go ahead and say yes, and we could get started. During the months I worked for her, I grew accustomed to this kind of decisiveness and sensitivity to spiritual stirrings. But when Williamson first requested my help, I was somewhat mystified by her request. And yet it sure seems like Marion Williamson is indeed a kook. That's J.D. Hall. But have no fear, the most uncloseted, closeted homosexual liberal in evangelicalism vouches for her as legit. Okay, so in looking at that, I guess we can see pretty much that that the homosexual agenda. Listen, this guy, his father was the former Southern Baptist Convention president. Now he's a writer and he's part of the woke movement, and he's part of this new woke movement, which is the hate white people movement or something like that. I think that's not what they call it. What do they call it? They call it the woke movement, but it's like I hate white people movement, and you should hate your whiteness, and, you know, all that good stuff. Right, and everybody's a racist, and you're all racist. You're all a bunch of racist homophobes. Right? That's what they call us, you bunch of racist homophobes. And you're just strutting your white privilege. Right? Okay. So let's see here. Shall we continue with the sodomite agenda to take over the world here? Let's see. I did that one. Let's see. Trump is not a racist, and you should not vote for him. Trump is a racist, and you should not vote for him. I don't think Trump's a racist. I think he's an opportunist. That's what I think Trump is. That's not what J.D. Hall is saying. He's just going through the article that he wrote on it. I was looking for another one. Hang on a second here. Man, what is up with all this stuff? We'll have to put in some, like, yeah. Okay, hang on a second. Let's keep going here. There was other things. Now, I think this is important to cover, too. And here's the reason why. Joshua Harris, Kiss Dating Goodbye book, right? The information that was let out of our announcement is that I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Many people tell me that there's a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now. The way to practice faith is the Bible. Okay? It's not your own stupid little feelings and everything else and your fickle feelings. It is the Word of God. God's Word is our rock. It is our unmovable rock. Jesus is the Word, right? I feel this. What is up with all these guys that got to feel everything all the time? It's like we're living in a society today where men can't be just rock ribbed and just set in stone faithful to God's Word and just follow it to the end and to death. But it's got to be like this. Well, I have to feel it. You know what? Sometimes you're not going to feel it. I'm going to tell you that. Sometimes you're not going to feel it. Sometimes you're not going to feel anything. That's the way it's going to be. Many people tell me that there's a different way to practice faith. Well, stop listening to them! Other Christians apostates, such as Rob Bell, have not been so blunt as to deny Christianity altogether and usually claim to hold on to the religion while redefining or deconstructing major tenets of the faith. Well, I want to show you something about this deconstruction. All right, let's see here. Something very clear here. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. That you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were ordained to this condemnation. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So these men, they turn the grace of God in lasciviousness, and they claim that they have the faith still. Well, Harris, he just was honest, and he said, no, I'm an apostate. I just want y'all to know that no ifs, ands, buts about it. I'm an apostate. I just want you to know that. That's what he's saying. Look, I don't want you to be confused. I made $1 million off my book, but now you losers, I'm done with you. He says, I'm going straight homo now. Well, he didn't say that yet. But he sure sounds like it. Other Christian apostates, right? While Harris admits to deconstruction, he also flatly denies Jesus. Harris says, the information that was let out of our announcement is that I have undergone massive shifts in regard to my faith in Jesus. The popular phrase is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Many people tell me that there's a different way. Another term for falling away is apostasy. Right? Except there come a falling away first. This revelation came only days after Harris's bizarre divorce announcement. Well, let's look at that. We are writing to share the news that we are separating will continue our life together as friends. In recent years, some significant changes have taken place in both of us. Sounds like you're gay. It is with sincere love for one another and understanding of our unique story as a couple that we are moving forward with this decision. We hope to create a generous and supportive future for each other and for our three amazing children the years ahead. You bunch of selfish people is all you are. You're selling out for your lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and you're walking away from your family, you're walking away from your faith, and you're walking away from your wife. Or vice versa. We hope to create a generous and supportive future for each other and for our three amazing children in the years ahead. Thank you for your understanding and for respecting our privacy. Joshua Harris, perhaps the most popular figure in the purity movement, announced on an amicable divorce from his wife. The change comes several years after Harris denounced Christian courtship as an unhealthy trend. Well, go figure. Joshua Harris was the heir apparent to C.J. Mahaney's Sovereign Grace Organization. Born in 1974, Harris rose to fame with his 1997 book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. The book promoted purity culture, as Rachel Held Evans and other evangelicals would call it, which advocated for an end to recreational dating. Marriage could be made, Harris argued, through biblical courtship in which a physical contact was restricted, parents were involved altogether, and did not advocate arranged marriages, and clear guidelines for expected conduct were set. Harris later wrote Boy Meets Girl in 2000, highlighting his engagement to his wife, Shannon. Harris went on to write several more books about dating, lust, and relationships. In 1999, Harris started the New Attitude Conference for Christian Singles with the help of Louis Giglio, who is the founder of the popular Passion Conference, a charismatic Calvinist. Harris found a home with C.J. Mahaney. In 2004, Harris, the son of a pioneering family in the homeschool movement, became the lead pastor of the Covenant Life Church, the flagship church of Sovereign Grace Ministries, published by Mahaney. He was then 30 years old. In 2015, embroiled in an alleged molestation cover-up scandal, which he largely inherited, Harris resigned from Covenant Life, raising eyebrows at the time. Harris said it was connected to other parts of Christianity. It seemed at the time that Harris was moving on. The only question was from what? Christians grew more skeptical of Harris when, after his resignation from Covenant Life, he began to cast shade upon the so-called purity movement and apologize for inadvertently hurting people. It's probably a good book. It's probably had some good information in it, I'm sure. It seemed for many years that Harris was indeed going the way of Rachel Held Evans, but it seemed Harris's departure from orthodoxy would be more quiet and respectful, largely due to the respect of his parents. Now Harris has announced his separation from his wife, Shannon. He shows no sign of remorse or intention to restore his union. Harris said on Instagram account, "We're writing to share the news that we are separating and will continue our life together as friends." How do you do that? Look, I'm ending my marriage covenant, but I want to be friends. Harris continued, "In recent years, some significant changes have taken place in both of us." That's odd. Today, the anti-purity wing of the Fox evangelicalism and the ex-evangelicalism is doing victory laps. He would remind you of the course of events. We'd remind you of the course of events, he says. First, Harris denounced purity culture, then Harris divorced. Learn the lesson and learn it well. So what's the point here? The point is that these people walk back their stances that are hard stances. I don't mean like, hey, I went too far with something minor or whatever, or anything like that. I'm talking about a wholesale swing from holiness, separation, and godliness to the righteousness of Christ, to follow the world. And that's what they've done, right? That's what they've done. And these guys are like these main players. By the way, this is why the local church is more important than ever. The doctor of the local church. You say, why? Can they won't apostatize? No, they will too, but you can start up another one. You can go somewhere else. and you can be answerable. I had people that came to this church that believed some really weird things, and when they had to sit down and try to explain those to a bunch of men that knew the Bible, they ended their weird things. Right? Why? Because they couldn't continue with them, that's why. They just couldn't. Let's see here. Can you see how it's? Isn't it weird how there's so much news though that is surrounded around this? Isn't it crazy how there's so much that is going on right around us as we speak? We're seeing it wholesale. And it's the homosexual move. It's like a spirit that keeps pushing forward, and it doesn't stop. That's weird. I saw a video where Benny Hinn did this, by the way. Charismatic pastor claims he found Jesus wandering in the streets and brought him to preach. I saw Benny Hinn do that. I watched a video the other day, and I'm going to show you that when we get to Benny Hinn, okay? But that's not today. Wow. Let's see. Sorry, I was looking at something else there real quick. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Teachers in your own UK girl in a church and anti-terrorist. Yeah, isn't that funny? A teacher reports a 10-year-old girl in the UK and her church is to an anti-terrorist group for hate speech. So basically what they're saying is that that's hate speech. Right? That because she stands against all the gender garbage, that she obviously hates sodomites. That's what I said to them when I was at that event. I sat there with them and I said, listen, I said, listen, why do you think that I hate you because I'm telling you what you're doing is wrong according to the Bible and I'm warning you? Why do you think that I hate you? How does that constitute hate for you? It's like somebody telling you you're wrong. Wouldn't somebody lying to you? Wouldn't that be hate? Right? I'm not wishing ill upon them. I'm not. I didn't say I wanted them to die. Well, you tell them they're going to hell. Yeah, because they are. They are. Okay. We talked about that Oregon law last week, now requires schools to teach that. I'm just making sure I've covered most of these things. And then we're going to deal with some other things. 24 years of child abuse, terrible. Reformed Baptist pastor. Sick. Let's see. Let's see. Well, we know about those issues. Those are continue to go away, or those are not going to go away at all. See, here's the thing. The LGBTQ movement is pressing ever forward in the churches today. Evangelicals have wholesale followed that movement. Matthew Vine, he was the one that I wanted to... Oh, let me see. Let's see if I can find that article. I want to show you this. See if I can find that. Here we go. Matthew Vines hosting private gathering to teach pastors how to turn their churches gay affirming. This is how the militant LGBTQ mafia works, says Jeff Maples. True Bible-believing Christians do not support, condone, or affirm homosexuality in any way. The Bible calls people to repent of all sexual immorality and turn to Christ. Yet the LGBTQ mafia is devoted to turning the church away from biblical teaching and toward full affirmation and inclusion of homosexuality. Why is that? So they can deaden their consciences against the tormenting sounds of God's word, who they know they must answer to for their sin sooner or later. Right? Matthew Vines, the gay activist who touts himself as a gay Christian. There's no such thing as a gay Christian. There's absolutely no such thing as that. Matthew Vines, the gay activist who touts himself as a gay Christian theologian, has been at the forefront of this battle for years. Vines, who has authored books on the subject of gay Christianity and is known for his viral YouTube video, The Gay Debate, The Bible, and Homosexuality, has already caused a number of evangelicals, including Southern Baptist leaders, in a closed-door meeting to soften their tone against homosexuality. Well, come talk to me. You come talk to me. I'll have a conversation with you. I'll have a conversation with you about it. I'll tell you flat out, you're going to die and go to hell, and you're no Christian either. You're lost and dead in your sins. You're corrupt and wicked, and the judgment of God is on you, and you're lying. This softening of tone has allowed the onslaught of gay theology from gay Christian outlets such as Living Out and Revoice. Revoice. To infiltrate mainstream evangelicalism through progressive outlets such as the Gospel Coalition and the Southern Baptist Ethics Religious Liberty Commission. Now Vines is offering private gatherings for pastors who are at a non-gay affirming church who want to learn how they could secretly and subversively turn their churches gay. The Reformation Project, founded and led by Vines, is an organization that, according to its website, is a Bible-based Christian grassroots organization that works to promote inclusion of LGBTQ people by reforming church teaching on sexual orientation and gender identity. We envision a global church that fully affirms LGBTQ people. Of course, it is anything but Bible-based. Nonetheless, they are hosting pastors in process designed to teach pastors to secretly turn their churches. They're meeting with these pastors covertly to bring in the sods, the sod squad, right? They're going to bring in the sod squad. Here it is. Reconcile and Reform Conference. It just sounds gay. Purchase How to Talk About the Bible and LGBT Inclusion Booklet. I don't think so. Our recent tweets. Why does that sound so gay? Are you or do you know a pastor at a non-affirming church seeking a private place where you can learn? No. I don't know any pastor that wants to seek a private place with you. Do you want a private meeting that you can come together and learn this? No. Prices go up at midnight tonight for our Reconcile and Reform Conference in Seattle this fall. If you're thinking about joining us, I'm not. Trust me. I'm not. God and the gay Christian. Look, this is absolutely satanic. I covered it years ago, but this is absolutely satanic. I don't want to join your mailing list. It's gross. It is gross. And how come people can't say it's gross anymore? You shouldn't laugh, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't mock it or whatever, and all this stuff. And they say these things, and it's like, you know what? How come nobody else is? I'll tell you why, because they want to have secret meetings with the, with these. Look at that guy. Just look at him. That guy. This guy coming to speak for you right there. How to make your church gay. Who in the world would do that? I don't know what the deal is with this person right here, this Church of the YouTube, but they're... See ya. I don't know who that is, but they're talking about weird stuff. Yeah, they're just coming on here to spam. That's all it is. He's a spammer. They're not even adding to the conversation or anything. They're just spamming. See you later. All right, back to these gay people. Where is that at? Here it is. The Reformation Project. Their mission and vision. Oh, boy. The Reformation Project is a Bible-based Christian grassroots organization. How do you call that Bible-based? Christian grassroots organization that works to promote inclusion of LGBT people by reforming church teaching. Reforming church teaching? Okay, so let me get this straight. So God's changed? Matthew Vine, God's changed? So God changed from like 2,000 years ago when Jesus, let's go all the way back. Let's go back 6,000 years ago when in the beginning God made them male and female. So God's changed now. And we got to reshape the teaching and change it. No, you're a bunch of antichrist devils is what you are. By reforming the church teaching on sexual orientation and gender identity. Look, if they want to say they're an apple, you just got to go with it. Well, look, you don't understand. I'm a non-binary apple. Look, the only people I've ever heard talk like that. All right, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not glorifying it. I'm just going to tell you because it just, this is what it is. All right? So back when I was a lost guy, long time ago, about 20 years ago probably, somewhere around 20 years ago. I got saved 17 years ago, almost 18 years ago. But this is about 19, 20 years ago. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to tell you this story. So I'm... sit in this apartment with this guy, these people, and everybody's on drugs. This dude, LSD, he was hitting acid, and I think he took some other stuff, okay? So this guy was tripping his mind off, okay? So I'm like giving him like orange juice or Mountain Dew or something, like citrus and stuff like that. So he's just like going nuts, tripping, right? And I'm sitting in the room with this guy, and he's tripping his head off. And me, I don't know, because I'm just stoned and I'm laughing at him. Like, it's all funny to me. It's all a big joke, you know? But this dude is like, he's really tripping out bad. And I looked at him, he's drinking that Mountain Dew, and he just kept saying things weird to me like, do you think I might die? I'm like, what? I don't know. What's wrong with you? You know, I thought maybe there's something wrong with him. He might die. And he goes, no, I just have this bad feeling like I might die. I'm like, well, don't do it in my apartment. Right? I mean, don't do it here. Go die somewhere else. That's how I was. I mean, I was just a lost guy, you know? I mean, I didn't say that to him, but I was probably thinking that in my mind at the time. I don't remember what I was thinking because I was gone, right? So I look at the guy, and I'm messing with his mind. I'm like, dude, you're an orange. And he goes, oh, no, man, I'm an orange. And he thought for like a second that he was an orange. Now, that's what this reminds me of. Do you understand that? I'm telling you that because that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of a dude tripping on psychedelics, looking at me. He ate a bag of mushrooms and took like three hits of acid, and he's telling me he's an orange. That's what these people remind me of. Yeah, it kills you. And he could have died. He was close to death. The guy was, he OD'd. He puked on the side of the highway. It was bad. Anyway, the point is, and that's not funny, I know, in that sense, and I'm not laughing at him. I'm telling you, that's what it is. That's the comparison. That's how people are. When they're this non-binary, gender identity. If you have gender identity problems, I want to, like, we want to teach you how to, okay, so you got some dude that walks into your church. Now listen to me. Or I think it's a dude. Look, I've asked him. I don't know what you are. And I don't care if a million of you people get mad at me. I don't care. You can stop listening all you want to. I don't care. Because I'm not gonna bend my wrist to these people. I'm not gonna femme out with these people. I hope you understand that. I'm not ever gonna be, by the grace of God, that guy that sits there and is like, let's have a talk. Like that. I'm not going to accept their evil and their wickedness. Get rid of the grumpy troll, dude. It's another hacker. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live my life like that. So, and I'm not going to accept that and be like, well, you have to find a way to talk to them. I don't even know what they are half the time. And people get mad about that. Well, Pastor, you got to be... Look, I wonder how Paul would have... John the Baptist. I'm just thinking about them running into like a group of transvestites. Jason Cooley, how come you don't tell everyone how you don't have sufficient funds for widows and orphans at your church, but instead use for buying extra cars? Get a job, you bum. Peter, wow. So all the spammers are coming on today. What widows and orphans requested funds for me that I didn't give? That would be interesting to note, wouldn't it? That's interesting. You know what's really funny about that comment? And it doesn't really deserve to be answered, but I think it's funny that this church, by the way, took a homeless guy that was living in complete sludge out in where was Brother Aaron from? Colorado. Out in Colorado, how raw sewage was dripping in his basement. He was living in a wheelchair. He had no money and he had no clothes when he came here. So we flew him out here. We got him a place to live. I paid for his first month's rent and everything else. And actually, the first... Yeah, month or two or whatever it was. Anyway, I know I paid for the first and last months or whatever, right? And got him going on himself. Now he just got his hip replaced. He got married, by the way. He got a job, and he has a child. So, yeah, we have helped a lot of people that needed it by the grace of God. I'm not saying that to toot my own horn because all the glory goes to God because he provides it. But there's been a lot of people that we have tried to help like that. Anyway, so... Praise the Lord. Anyway, all right. So that's the grace of God. Now back to Homoville here. Here's the thing. These guys, our vision is a global church that fully affirms LGBTQ people. Look, I appreciate that, Susie. Thank you for saying that. That's very kind. Our vision is a global church, they say, that fully affirms LGBTQ people. All of our work is grounded in three values, they say. Our love for God. You're a liar. If you love me, keep my commandments. Why are you lying? Our love for the Bible? I mean, okay. I want to help you. Please, all 67 people on here, listen closely, please, to me. And anybody else who hears this. I want to help you with something. And this is really serious. Okay, I need a favor from you, Luke. I need you to go get a cone for me. There should be a parking cone back there. Hurry up and grab one. I want to illustrate something. There should be one back there somewhere. We should have them around there. Are you ready, class? I'm going to give you an illustration. Here's the illustration. Okay? Now, put the camera up a little bit, Luke, for me. I'm trying to balance this on my head. All right? Now, maybe up a little bit more if you can, or hold it just up a little bit. They'll forgive the shaky camera for a minute, okay? Okay, there you go. You see my pointy hat? All right, you see it? Here's me pointy hat. Now, this is what you have to stop looking for when you're looking for a witch. Stop looking for pointy hat dudes or chicks. Stop looking for that. And start looking for this. What you're seeing on the screen. Start looking for that. Because that's what witchcraft is. Do you understand that? That's what witchcraft is. That's what I'm trying to tell you. These are the real witches. These are. This guy is a witch. These guys are a witch. Beth Moore is a witch. They are swerving you from Bible truth by using the Bible. Are you following me? I wish I could hear all of you guys screaming amen right now, because I hope you are. Because that's what's going on. Now let me show you this. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 14. And, let's back up actually. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. They're not going to tell the truth. Right? They're not going to tell the truth. So what does Paul say? First of all, they're false. They're deceitful. What is Matthew Vine? False. Deceitful. He's taking the word of God and using it what? Look at this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received, we faint not. God, help us not to faint, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Right? Whoops, that's not it. All of our work, he said, is grounded in three values: our love for God, our love for the Bible, and our love for the church. You liar. Three times a liar. Let's see. Let's go back to where we were at here. Oops, wrong one. That one. All right. He says they are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. How do they do that? Well, it's not by putting on the mojo hat and being like, woogie, 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 woogie. Right? That's not how it is. That's not how they do it. How do they do it? Through handling the word of God deceitfully. Right? By handling the word of God deceitfully. That's how they do it. They're transforming themselves, the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. That means you shouldn't stumble at it. Don't marvel at it. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I have this feeling that Luke is going to have like some really crazy clips, like of woogie woogie woogie. I don't know why, but I just have this feeling that there's going to be these crazy clips. Right, that's what I have a feeling of, that's going to happen. Anyway, that's okay. I'm sure there's going to be people on the internet that hate my guts that are going to take those. Right. Anyway, okay, so let's continue on. Right? They say emulating the... Okay, here we go. And for the church, it's because of those values. Oh, you stinking devil. That we are passionate about seeing churches fully affirm and include LGBTQ people. And that we seek to advance LGBTQ inclusion in the church as an intersectional way. Intersectional way. No pun intended. Emulating the life and teachings of Jesus by honoring the image of God in those most marginalized. Oh my goodness. They don't have the image of God. You have the image of fallen man. Right? So this is our love for God. We love God, and it's because of our love for God that so many of us have wrestled so prayerfully and deeply with our sexuality, our gender, gender identity in our faith. We seek to honor God with everything we do. You're a liar! Do you like how he uses Deuteronomy? What about 18? Oh, I think I'll leave that one out, boss. We seek to follow Jesus, worshiping him as God and emulating his life, teachings, and ministry, especially in his treatment of those who are downtrodden. Look, are you saying, why are LGBTQ people downtrodden? Because they're in sin. You're admitting that they're downtrodden and outcast. Why? Sin. And why would you wrestle with your gender? I wrestle with my gender. Well, then you're not. Hey, can we back up? Let's back up, kid. We love God, and it's because our love for God that so many of us have wrestled so prayerfully and deeply with ourselves. Wait. Why are you wrestling with something if you love God? You said that you seek to follow Jesus. Well, if you seek to follow Jesus, Jesus said there's only two genders, male and female. Right? That's what Jesus said. Our love for the Bible. We love the Bible and revere it as the Word of God, inspired by God and authoritative in the Christian life and practice. How's that? It is because of our love for the Scripture that we have studied it so carefully, seeking to discern the heart of God and the most faithful understanding of the text of the church for the church today. Oh, so God's church has changed? So Jesus Christ, who is the foundation of the church and the apostles, why is it for today? Hold on, let me go here. I hate typing on this. Is it cornerstone two words, maybe, huh? Yeah. Look at this, Ephesians 2:20. Okay, 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Right here it says that he's the cornerstone. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Why are these guys so confounded? Because they don't believe on him. Holy buckets, what is Steven Anderson doing on here? Why in the world are all these guys coming on here today? I didn't do anything to any of those guys. I haven't even said his name. And he comes popping on the thread. Well, Steve, thanks for popping in. Thanks for making an introduction there. Your video about me didn't even rebuke me, just so you know, while you're on here. I guess I could say that real quick. And I'm preaching against homosexuality, and I don't know why you have a problem with that. I'm preaching against the LGBTQ invasion of the churches, right? And that's not it. I don't think that's even Anderson, probably. It's probably a fake account. I don't think it's really him. Because I don't think he'd tell me to do that, really. At least I hope he wouldn't. But anyway, he's gone. He's bye-bye. All the fouls of the air are coming out today. Woo, they're flying in. I must be hitting some buttons here. I must be pushing some buttons, right? Maybe it's my orange cone head. Maybe it's my hat. What do you think? Is it my hat? Maybe it's that. Anyway, so the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how in the world could they say they love the Bible when they ignore God's command there? Our love for Scripture is also what drives us to help the church interpret and apply it faithfully as possible when it comes to gender and sexuality. What a joke. Our love for the church. We love the church, and we are impelled by our love for the church to help the body of Christ truly be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world. Especially from those who only heard the messages of condemnation from the church. Hey, can I help you out with something? Can I help you out with something? That is so ridiculous. That is so ridiculous. Anyway, somebody's like mocking that. Oh man, now they're all going to come out. Luke, you just start, just continue on. All right, anyway. You just keep Xing out when you see him, just get him off the channel right away. Whoever else is on there, I don't know who else is on there today, but yeah. Okay, anyway. Our love for the church includes a love for fellow Christians who disagree with us theologically or are still seeking to discern their views. I'm not seeking to discern them. I know what God's word says. And that God's word is final. And I know that you guys are liars. And that you're teaching. Let's see. So see, you know, you can have a statement of faith, but not believe a word of it. And that's what they have. That's what a witch does, though. They have a statement of faith, but they don't believe a word of it. Do you understand that? They don't believe a word of it. Conversations about sexuality and sexual ethics in the church can often be a source of significant tension and discord. Many Christians have deeply held and often conflicting values on various topics, such as sexuality, and people on all sides of these debates often do not feel heard or understood. At the Reformation Project, while grounded in our beliefs, we are committed to fostering authentic conversation. On the other hand, many conservative Christians look with regret upon what's commonly called the sexual revolution, and they feel as though society in general is drifting away from Christian values in the realm of sexuality. Traditional Christian beliefs about reserving sex for marriage, monogamy, and lifelong commitment are increasingly less widely held. Many Christian parents feel as if those mainstream culture is sending only permissive messages about sex to their wife and children, and they worry that greater acceptance of LGBTQ... No, I don't worry about it. I know! The Reformation Project takes these concerns seriously. As a Christian organization with a deep love for the Bible, they don't have a deep love for the Bible. They're lying. By the communion of the saints and by the Christian tradition, we celebrate the church's ancient wisdom in recognizing a powerful link between sex and lifelong commitment. And we encourage churches to bless same-sex relationships in a way that is consistent with historical, marital, covenantal ethic of the church. So, in other words, what are they saying? In other words, basically what they're saying is we're trying to conform churches to accept LGBTQ relationships just like they do male and female. Right? That's what they want. They want that to be accepted. We lament that LGBTQ people have historically had their sexualities and gender identities forcibly repressed by the church, government, and society. What do you mean your gender identities? So what they're saying is that their gender identity can be changed. That's what he's saying. And you're trying to tell me you're a Christian when God made them male and female, and you're trying to tell me that's Christianity? Non-affirming theological teachings have done profound harm to the LGBTQ community through conversion therapy and forced celibacy, and they have contributed to widespread spiritual abuse, family rejection, and physical violence. Wow. What a lie. Conversion therapy calls it. Well, I just think you need to be converted. I don't think you need any therapy. I just think you need to be converted. I'm just going to look at you and tell you, you're lost, dead in your sins. You're going to die and go to a devil's hell, and you're not saved. How do they keep getting like more accounts like that? Huh? No, how do they keep doing that, though? Is that hard to do? How do these people do that? They get like 10 accounts. How they sign up for those that quick is amazing to me. Or they just have them in reserve or what? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird. We realize that in places where same-sex marriage remains illegal, LGBTQ Christians receive little to no public support to practice a marital covenantal. Because you can't. God made them male and female. That's what the Bible says. It's so clear. We connect shame-based teachings on sexuality and their patriarchal foundation to the roots of the LGBT exclusion. Wow. Look at that. We connect shame-based teachings on sexuality and their patriarchal foundation to the roots of LGBTQ exclusion. So look at that. They absolutely hate patriarchal, the patriarchy. They absolutely hate men standing up and being men. Why? Because you're a bunch of little Fruit Loops. That's why. And you hate biblical men. That's why. Because they are your enemy. A commitment to decolonization refers to the undoing of colonization. It's about recognition and reclamation. When people talk about the need of decolonization, it's a call to action to address how countries, systems, relationships, and even minds are shaped by white supremacy, which cultural practices we see as normal and civilized, and which we do not. Wow. So they jump on, these people are, they jump on the white supremacist, or the white privilege bandwagon, cultural bandwagon to push their movement. As a grassroots organization committed to an intersectional interlocking approach to LGBTQ inclusion, we seek to undo racism and to uplift LGBTQ people of color. Wait, what does racism have to do with LGBTQ? Oh, I know, it's about money, so you can get money. We name white supremacy and colonialism as tools which have historically been used to enforce patriarchy and a gender binary hostile to indigenous peoples who hold alternative expressions of gender and sexuality. So basically, you're satanic and you're trying to destroy. Listen, folks, this is a witch. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He's a witch. These are the real witches. That's what these are. We seek to question theological legacies of colonization as they relate to sexual ethics and to acknowledge racial dynamics at play in these conversations. And we invite our supporters to learn about these issues at our Making the Connection page. We understand part of decolonization work entails interrogating the theological inheritances of the occupier and oppressor. We acknowledge the violent racial dynamics at play in these conversations. For example, women of color are uniquely hypersexualized and cast as tempting, exotic, or spicy. This contributes to their experiencing greater degree of shame and violence. What a joke. This guy is such a femwad. We reject the idea that those who have had sex before their wedding night are damaged goods. Nobody said they're damaged goods. They're just wrong. We lament that the purity culture targets young women in particular, often placing radicalized double standards on women's bodies and laying the burden of maintaining purity in the context of a heterosexual relationship mostly or completely on them. So basically, you don't want to be a man and lead is what you're saying. That you're not a man. That's what you're saying. You're not a man. And you don't want to be a man. We acknowledge that purity culture initially erases the acts of sexual violence often occurred within a marriage context. And we condemn sexual assault and intimate partner violence. Whether sexual assault in a marriage? Basically, you want to destroy the patriarchy. That's what this is all about. At least they admit it. At least they admit it, right? At least they admit that their entire goal is to destroy patriarchy. They don't want a man-led society. We understand that an absence-only model of youth sexual education has been linked to harmful... Oh, my goodness. So basically what he's saying is that preaching abstinence-only is wrong. You mean like this? Let me show you. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Right? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Abstinence until married, that's right there. Okay? And a husband and a wife, a husband and a wife. I mean, that's pretty clear. We don't see anything else in the scriptures that teach otherwise, do we? We understand that as a multifaceted community, some LGBTQ Christians will hold different sexual ethics than ours. We are committed to holding space for one another, to open dialogue, and to being in an authentic relationship across difference. We want to name the respect we have for our fellow siblings in Christ with different understandings of sexual ethics. We are grateful for the correcting of weak spots in our approach and for the moral wisdom. Okay, so it goes without saying this guy's gay, all right? But you have to understand what this guy's about. I mean, these people, they're literally about destroying biblical foundations. They are the certain men that have crept in unawares. They are those that are transformed. See, they're using the same argument that Beth Moore is using. They're using the same argument that the LGBT community uses over and over again. That you have no compassion if you don't accept our sin, our wickedness, that you have no compassion. Right? The Reformation Project. Oh my. Condemning same-sex relationships. Here's their brief biblical case. Condemning same-sex relationships is harmful to people. Wow. How do you even make that? Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that good trees bear good fruit, but the church's rejection of same-sex relationships has caused tremendous, needless suffering to lesbian, gay. So you take Matthew chapter 7 and try to apply that and say that's bad fruit? That is a complete out of context. That is completely out of context. Sexual orientation is a new concept. One, the Christian tradition hasn't addressed. What? It isn't new. The Bible spoke about effeminate, and it spoke about... Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans. Oh, see, it's a new thing. No, it's not. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without natural, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they would commit, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What does the Bible say about that? I think it has a lot to say about that. Now I'll turn to 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians here. Probably spelling it wrong here. Yeah, I am. There we go. What does the Bible say about that? 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, which is the first sin, by the way, that's listed there. You see that? Fornicators. Do you know why fornicators is the first sin there? It is the first sin there because it covers all sexual sin. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's the whole sexual orientation thing, right? Those cross-dressers, those that don't want to be what they are, those effeminate acting men, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, which is homosexuality, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. All right, so he goes on and he lists all those. It's not a new concept. That's a lie. Celibacy is a gift, not a mandate. No one said you had to be celibate, right? You have to turn from your sin. That's what you have to do. And repent and believe the gospel. Sodom and Gomorrah involved in attempted gang rape, not a loving relationship. That is such a lie. Because, here's why. I'm going to show you that. Well, of course it was a gang rape. So was it also in other places. But let me show you this word. Let's see here. Give me a second. Let me go back to Romans. Chapter 1, I think that, let's see. I'm trying to think of the word now and I can't think of it. Let me see. Malignity, let's see. Mine, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, natural, without implacable. No, that's the one that can't be pleased. Oh, what was that verse called? Is it in here? Maybe it's in here. Hold on. Are thieves, nor covetous, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit. Now the word escapes me. I can't think of the word. Too bad. I can't think of the word. Brother Ickes used the word. Oh, and he studied it out, and it was good. And it means the opposite of love. It actually means hate. I can't think of it right now. I'll think of it later, probably. Anyway. I can't think of that word right now. Okay, so the argument that, by the way, here's one argument, another argument that can be made against this. We see no active, we see no homosexual relationship in the Bible approved of God. Not one. Not one. No, it's a Bible word and I can't think of it, but it means to hate and not to love. And it had to do with the Sodomites, and I can't remember the word, though. I can't remember it. Oh, let me see here. While I'm talking to you and I'm reading this, maybe I'll send it over to see if I can get a hold of Brother Ickes here on my text here, and See if you can give me that word. While I'm talking to you. Okay. Let me see here. All right. I'll see if he can answer that. Maybe he will in a few minutes here. Anyway, the prohibitions in Leviticus don't apply to Christians. Well, God said in the beginning he made them male and female. And the moral law was never rescinded. God never rescinded the moral law. Paul condemns same-sex lust, not love. That's not true. Because God defines marriage. And God defines marriage as male and female. Paul talks about that. That which is unseemly. There we go. Working that which is unseemly. Thank you. That's the word. Whoops. I don't know what I did there. I did something. I hit the wrong button, something like that over there. Oh. What'd I do?
It's okay.
Okay, no big deal? Okay. All right, let's see here. Let's see here. There it is. All right. And likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Okay. And then we have, doth not behave itself unseemly. Love. It says here that love does not behave itself. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. How do I get the definition of Webster's 1828 on here? Do you know? It used to pull up there, but I don't know why it doesn't pull up on this one. I can look it up anyway. Yeah, it doesn't work when I click on it for some reason. Anyway, we'll figure it out. I'll figure it out later. I'll just look up here. But I'll show you the definition of that word. Let's see if it's in there. Not fit or becoming, unbecoming, indecent, indecently, unbecomingly. Right? That's what the word means. So let's go back to this. Let's go back to the Bible. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. But it says true love, biblical love, does not work, it is not unseemly, does not behave itself unseemly, indecent. God calls homosexuality indecent. Okay. All right. The term homosexual didn't exist until 1892. Well, who cares? Who cares what word you use? Right? Call them sodomites then. Because that's what the Bible calls it. And by the way, God defines marriage. So marriage is about commitment, he says. That's true, it is. But God defines marriage. And it defines it as Christ and the church. And while look at what he says here. Marriage is even compared to the relationship between Christ and the church. And while the language uses the opposite sex, the core principles apply just as well. No, it doesn't, because there's no such thing in God's economy as same-sex marriage. You don't get to redefine what God says marriage is. God says marriage in the beginning what it is. And you don't get to redefine that and make it something else. And see, that's what he's doing. When people act dumb on here, I just take them off. Even if they're acting corny, like they're about, because I feel like they're going to get ready to hit me with something dumb, so I just take them off. I can't stand it. It's just because they act all shady and like they're being nice, and then they, boom, they hit you with something. It's just dumb. I just erase them right away. I don't even give them a chance. I just bye, see ya. God defines marriage. You don't get to change. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, I hate to break it to you, sodomites, but you can't obey God. So how could you enter into a union that is totally perverse to what God says and expect the church to accept that and churches to accept that when you can't even enter a union and obey that? Because you can't be male and female. Right? By the way, all of nature works that way. That's why the Bible says that you are without natural affection, that you go against nature, because it's completely against nature. Completely. God defines marriage. Look what Jesus, people say, Jesus never said anything about that. Yes, he did right here. He was saying it right here. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. Boop, boop, boop. Traditional roles alert. Look out, your head's going to explode. Actually, father and mother. Look, male and female. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? It's actually literal language, and it's the only way you can procreate and keep society going. My goodness gracious. It's satanic insanity is what it is. Look what he said. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Two women can't have a baby. Okay? And I think it's time for one of my simple lessons. Okay? What's my song again? What's that, Luke? What's it called? Come on down to the... Let's see. Is that what it's called? Yeah, what did I call that? Yeah, the Seminole String Band. Here it is. Okay. Here we go. You ready? This is for you.
Television just to watch the evening news, and what I saw on there made me want to crawl right through the tube, cause they were talking about this wedding but they only showed two men. So I fired off this little email with some words just for them. Come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn, you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. Well, in that little email, I began to tell them how two mares can't make a stallion, two bulls can't make a cow. It takes a male and a female for the species to go on, and there'll be no reproduction if the plumbing is all wrong. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn, you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. our children all about the birds and the bees. Now the world keeps telling them you can do anything you please. We need to get back to the Bible, back to the gospel truth, 'cause a million happy roosters won't make a single chicken. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn. You won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. When God said love your brother,
I love it. I couldn't resist it. I had to play it. Oh, it's great. All right. Human beings are relational. No kidding, Elvis. Where'd you get that at? It's like, I mean, the points he makes are so ridiculous. Like, in a debate, how could anybody even lose to this guy? It's so ridiculous. Faithful Christians are already embracing LGBT members of the church. No, they're actually not. Faithful Christians. No, apostates. Apostates. So, I guess the thing that you're learning from this today, I hope you're learning, is what a real LGBTQ witch is. Because that's what I've showed you. The Reformation, and I'll rename this when I put this on Sermon Audio, but the Reformation Project, they're a bunch of witches. These are the witches. These are the ones that would come and deceive. Right? These are the ones. And you have to remember that. That those are the those are the... If they were Transformers, they'd be the Decepticons. That's what they'd be. I just thought of that for some reason. I don't know why I just did. Let's see here. I want to show you something else here, too, if I can get it here. Hold on a second. Give me a second here. All right. So hold on one second here. Let me... Let's see. Here we go. Okay. I want to remind you of something that I don't want you to forget. That this guy. This is how it is. That this guy is always watching you. And he's not happy with this teaching. This guy is not happy with you. He's very upset with you. He's very upset with you because you're listening to this. He's very upset with you that you heard this. And he's watching you. That guy is always watching you right there. Don't forget it. That guy. Yep, the guy with the pyramid on his shirt, Susie. He's always watching. That guy. Remember this guy? He's the guy from the sod fest they had. Hand was joined in hand, and he stood against the Bible preachers. That guy. Right there. Anyway, all right. Well, does anybody have any questions at all? Someone's sending you a hangout. I don't know. Who's he talking to, me? Oh, yeah, don't worry. That was me. I was sending myself one. Quit being so nosy, Carl. Anyway, man, you hear a little beep on my computer? Man, you're nosy. What's the matter with you, Carl? Anyway. Man. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Sort of. But that guy's not kidding. That guy's not kidding. He's there. That was his wife comforting him. It's okay. It's okay to be gay. Something. I don't know what she was doing. She was telling him that he was right and he was nice and I was mean, basically. But it gives you an understanding. This is mainstream. Now go back to the videos that I showed you of the attack and all those things. Right? And understand and remember that this is what we're facing. There is a wholesale apostasy going on across the country. Right? And that's who they are, and that's and they're witches. They don't have to. They're sorcerers. They're transforming themselves. Right? Is Shockstorm on to ask any interesting questions? No. Like, what do you do about butter on bread? What if the Wonder Bread is satanic? What if the label on the Wonder Bread has three sixes on it? Should I eat it? Right? The look when you realize a Baptist preacher just called you out. Anyway, so any questions before I get out of here and go spend the afternoon with my family and have some fun with my kids? And I'm going to play some horseshoes with my dad. And all that good stuff. Is it okay to preach repentance outside a political BBW? I don't know what a BBW is. Is that a barbecue or something with a W? I don't know what that is. Oh, barbecue. Outside of a political barbecue? Hey, I would. I'd eat some barbecue, too. Right? We'll pray for Susie. We'll pray for your child to repent. Anybody else here? Have you ever heard of the Queen James Bible? Yeah, I've heard of it. I did a video exposing it. You did? Well, I don't want to be superstitious or anything. If something's like 666, I mean, it is. It's not like I don't want to be superstitious about that. You can take that to a level that's just ridiculous. However, when I'm preaching, I have people that go by me. You know what they say? They go, they're like, 666. And they'll say, Hail Satan and stuff like that. When they say that, I just say, all you're doing is proving the Bible true, because where'd you get that number at? Where do you get those numbers at? Where did they get them at? They got them from the Bible. They got them from God's Word. That's where they got them from. Hey, John MacArthur takes a good stance on the subject, and I feel like he does on some other things. What do you think about him? Pierce, I think. Let me tell you something, Pierce. I think. I think John MacArthur is wrong about the mark of the beast, and he believes that somebody can take the mark and they're still going to be saved, and that's wrong. He's also wrong about the blood of Christ as well. You know, so those are two things, you know, that it's sad because he actually has some good teachings on some other things, but the problem is that those are some really, you know, really bad stands. You know, on things. Would you write a letter to the gay nephew about his wedding or just not go? I would write him a wedding and I would write him a letter and I would tell him I would tell him that why you can't go, and I would be honest with him, and I would tell him the truth. You know, I know, Susie, it's sad because John MacArthur taught a lot of good things. But that blood stance, it bothers me. And then the second thing that bothers me is the, you know, is the mark. It's really weird. You know, it just, it's really strange. I don't understand it. But so that's why I'd be really careful about those, for sure. You know, but yeah, it's sad. It really is. But let's see. Have you heard of Eric John Phelps? Apparently he believes in white separation. I do know of Eric John Phelps. I used to actually broadcast. I broadcasted for a short time on his radio station, and then I left it. I do not agree with Eric John Phelps on a few issues, but I do believe that his Vatican Assassins book is one of the best books on the Vatican, and on Rome, and on the great harlot, the Scarlet Harlot. I think it's probably the best on the Jesuits, on the Jesuit order that's out there. But there are some differences that I have with him on a few things, you know. But, yeah, so anyway, I agree with a lot of what he said in Vatican Assassins, though. You know, but I don't know who Alexander McFarland is. Why did Jesus refer to the Syrophoenician woman as a dog? Well, because Gentiles were Goya, they were considered dogs to the Jews because they did not have the law. So because they lived outside of the law, they were heathens. Okay? And Jesus was testing her burden to want to be healed. He knew exactly all things. He knew her heart. He knew she was sincere. And he humbled her by saying that she was a dog. And that brought her to a place of repentance. And he was testing her to see where she was at. And she was at a place that she was broken and she needed the Lord. And that's why he called her that. But Gentiles were considered dogs to Jews. That's kind of the position they held. You know. Yep. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table, right? So praise the Lord for that humble answer that she gave, and it showed her heart. What are your thoughts on David Wilkerson? Well, I think David Wilkerson had a lot of good messages. I mean, I listened to a few of them, and I thought they were pretty solid. His one on anguish is one of the best clips I've ever heard. But my problem with David Wilkerson is, you know, his connections with the Pentecostal movement in general. But I think that he taught a lot of solid things, and I, you know, but, you know, but there's a problem there with some of his theology. But he never really advertised tongues a lot. He never really advertised a lot of those gifts, so to speak. He didn't have an emphasis on those, but I disagree with you know, some of his other teachings and doctrines that are less known, that people don't really know about. You know, so that's my stand on him as far as that goes. Okay. Well, John Piper, I didn't have time to do that today, but John Piper is really getting into heresy. He is really jumping on the new movements here. I forgot I had an article and I didn't have time, but maybe I'll go over it next week with you. But there's some things about Piper that he's definitely into a lot of false doctrine. So I don't particularly like John Piper at all. I believe I believe he's into false doctrine. He teaches false doctrine. So, yep. Okay. Let's see. It is sad to hear, but I can show you better next week. I don't have it pulled up here, and I just don't want to say that without proving it. I don't know anything about Derek Prince. You know. Well, I wouldn't say Carl Winters is connected, or Carl Winters, I wouldn't say he's connected directly to the Charismatics. He is connected to the Pentecostal movement, though. Which is pretty much a moderate Pentecostal movement. But yeah, I definitely disagree with some of his stuff for sure. You know, I disagree with the Pentecostal movement, as I've taught. So, I have heard of Tex Mars, and I think he's a Knight of Malta. And I think he's a, I think he's a shill for the Roman Catholic Church, actually. So, yep. What are your thoughts about super male vitality? Super male vitality. Alex Jones! I think Alex needs to dial back on the caffeine a little bit. And on the testosterone shots he's taken, and chill out a little bit because he's like totally losing his mind. Yeah. Anyway, all right, guys. Hope you have a good weekend. And I got a busy weekend tomorrow. We head out to a festival that's going on, and we're going to try to hand out 2,000 tracts and preach the Bible tomorrow. Out there. So, you know, we're going to do our best to get out there and preach the Word of God. And you pray for us that the Lord will continue to bless us and take care of us as we serve Him and live for Him, and protect us and guide us in all we do. And I'll see you all back here on Monday. I got to try to end this broadcast over here. I don't even know what to hit. This one? No. All right. Let's see here. Over here? Nope. That one right there. Hey, it pulled back up. Look at that. All right. Anyway. You're late. What happened? All right. Charles Lawson. I've heard a lot of good things about him. I have some disagreements doctrinally with him, but I've heard some good things about him. I don't know him well enough to be able to comment too much about his teachings or anything like that. Anyway, folks, we'll see you. We'll see you next week. All right. Take care.